There are two more elements we want to look at here briefly: states of consciousness and then types. And states of consciousness you have subdivided into resourceful and unresourceful at high energy and low energy. And examples of resourceful states at high energy are invigorated, confident, joyful, connected, proud, and resourceful states at low energy are relaxed, mellow, peaceful, tranquil. Unresourceful states at high energy are fearful, anxious, defensive, resentful, disgusted, jealous, angry, and unresourceful states at low energy include depressed, exhausted, defeated, apathetic, sad. So states play an important role because people are living states moment to moment. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the primary things that we want to look at and work with.
Yeah, I would say that's one of the ways we work with states, which is, you know, based on Lauren Schwartz's work around everyday states.
Go ahead.
And so that's in our research around the various state aspects that we wanted to work with our coaches on. One of them was about everyday states because
right.
it just shows up day to day in how they're approaching whatever their coaching topic is, whatever domain it lives
right.
in. But the other is just, you know, also making students aware of the various types of state experiences, heightened states, altered states, the various ways you can affect state, whether that's through music or poetry or substances,
right.
You know, that going through all of that. But it's also, you know, really looking at that there's, you know, state stage development in terms of, you know, movement along gross subtle causal.
Right.
But also, you know, what we had to do is really say, okay, so what are we going to work on, you know, building in our coaches? So one is, how do they work with it with their clients through state experiences? How do they work on it in terms of the everyday waking states, you know, based on the words that you just listed?
Right.
The other is developing presence as a coach, developing a certain awake, aware presence as a coach, and the various practices that are required of our coaches to engage in, such that they, you know, you beautifully talked with me about a few weeks ago, Ken, around waking up versus growing up, or
right.
horizontal versus vertical development. And so I think that one of the things that's often said about coaches graduating from ICC is people comment on the presence of the coaches,
right.
and that somehow when they're in the presence of a coach, people aren't exactly sure why. They share what they do. Things change the way they do. Things get real as quickly as they do. And a lot of that is based on the building of the presence of a coach, which includes, you know, how that lives in, you know, their full Aqua constellation.
Right.
So, you know, as you know better than anyone, you know, states of consciousness as a lens is extremely complex and ever unfolding in terms of, you know, how do we understand it, make sense of it, and especially, you know, what you keep contributing, build maps that more accurately reflect it,
right.
practices that can support its horizontal development.
Right.
So it's a complex lens, and, you know, with this lens, similar to all the lenses, Laura and I had to pick, you know, at what level of the map, you know, do we enter with the certification module versus what do we talk about at master's classes when,
right.
you know, ICC coaches are certified and graduated? You know, when do we dive into, oh, it's actually way more than that? And, you know, so that's always discernment that's going on in the evolution of both integral theory and its application.
Right. And the development through states in what we call state stages is the primary vehicle of meditative and contemplative growth. And what has confused us for a long time is looking at the meditation manuals around the world, all of which have stages of meditative growth, and trying to compare those stages to the stages that the Western models gave in the altitude dimension. And basically, they just never really lined up, and it wasn't really clear what was going on. For a long time, because the state stages at the end of their development get into very high realms of oneness with everything that's arising and universal bliss and love, we tended to just stack those state stages on top of the level stages of altitude. And that sort of seemed to work, but really didn't, because we found that people could be at virtually any altitude and go through any of the states. So these two have become independent variables, and there are level or structure stages, moving through altitude, moving from red to amber to orange to green to teal to turquoise, indigo, violet, and we call those vertical stages. And there are the so-called horizontal state stages going through the generalized states that the great traditions, great wisdom, contemplative traditions give, which are three or four generally, and we refer to just as gross, subtle, and causal. So gross, subtle, and causal, moving through that, moving your awareness through gross states, which are oriented towards the exterior world of material objects, into subtle states, which are oriented towards subjective worlds of interior variables, to causal states of pure emptiness, transcending subject and object altogether, and resulting in stages of pure emptiness, pure radical, unqualifiable awareness as such, the realization of which is known generally as enlightenment or awakening or liberation. And the goal of this horizontal development is waking up, whereas the goal of the vertical development is growing up. And the growing up adds perspectives, adds levels of perspective that one's ultimate big mind or universal self can see its own manifestation through, whether it's through just first person or second person or third person or fourth person or fifth person. And the state development is the degree of independence or transcendence of these various types of manifestations that the self has, whether you can transcend all objective objects or whether you can transcend all subjective objects or whether you can transcend both. And so it's an important line of development and is really dealing with one's capacity to be present to the present. And the more present one is to the present, the more one is moving from gross to subtle to causal states of witnessing and being awareness. And that's why graduates of integral coaching have a kind of presence about them due to state training that they have undergone. So it's a spirituality without really being called spirituality in many ways, but it's an important dimension of human being.
It's really important. And then in combination in, you know, the Aqua constellation, as you look at the level through which, you know, states are interpreted and spoken about,
right,
versus, say, the back of the lines lens, the spiritual line. And, you know, and so this is always a really great place where the integral map actually supports coaches, because you can have a client who describes a particular experience that they had, and rather than, you know, just immediately on the lines profile give them a high, you know, in terms of
right.
stable development, you get to hear the language through which
right.
They're describing that experience, one. And two, whether this is a stably lived place or whether this was a one-time experience.
Right.
And so it actually, this is one place, again, in the Aqua constellation where in combination with each other, it starts giving you access to the complexity of what's actually going on with this particular client.
Right. And which is very important. What is being discussed here is the fact that one's states of consciousness are interpreted through one's structures or levels or altitude of consciousness. And so you can be at an amber altitude, a fundamentalist ethnocentric altitude, and have a causal state experience. But you'll interpret it as an ethnocentric event, that I had an experience of ultimate reality that only me and my chosen people can have. And so watching how these two interact is very important. And what we want, of course, is stable, healthy development at whatever structure and state a person's at, and then the possibility of moving through structures, levels, and states to higher, more encompassing ones, all of which comes as byproducts of practices and rarely as something that's directly aimed for, although sometimes in state training that is.
Right, exactly. And I think one of the key words for you and for us is the word stable. What is being stably lived?
Right.
Whether it's looking at structure stages or state stages, what is a stably lived experience? And that's greatly informative for an integral coach working with a client.
Right. So states are definitely important, and the states of gross, subtle, causal, and non-dual, to give four states, are basically similar in the great traditions world over. Evelyn Underhill, in her book Mysticism, summarized the four stages that all mystics go through as purgation, illumination, dark night, and unification.
Mm-hmm.
And those are gross, subtle, causal, and non-dual.
Right.
And those are the essential state stages that all individuals go through in waking up,
right,
in their process of enlightenment. And so, of course, it's an important dimension that we include in the AQUO integral framework and is a dimension often left out or excluded in other approaches. And that brings us to our last major element, which is type. And types are items that can be present at virtually every level and in virtually every line, but are just generic items that occur. And there are several models for types. And the other final thing about types is that they don't often change through development. If you're one type at the beginning of your development, you tend to stay that type throughout your development, although you can loosen your identification with it and find room for other types and perceptions and feelings of other types. The two types that y'all use are the Enneagram, which is a complex, rather sophisticated typology of 9 types, and then gender, simpler typology of basically masculine and feminine. Why don't you talk briefly about how these fit in to the AQUO constellation, to the working that an integral coach does?
Similar to the other lenses, it's another framework where we try to look as and look at the client. And so with the Enneagram type structure, basically we're looking at, as you said, it's a complex lens all on its own, which has, you know, it has wings and it has various disintegration and integration points. It's a beautifully complex lens.
Right.
But it also, you can become, let's say you're an Enneagram 4, you will stay an Enneagram 4 your whole life, but you can become a healthier and healthier Enneagram 4, addressing the shadow issues associated with that particular type structure,
right,
and the developmental challenges that a 4 would face, et cetera.
Right.
So the Enneagram lens actually gives some access to kind of the personality of the client, the feel of a client in a particular way.
Right.
And in combination with the other 5 lenses is often a great creative contribution to developing a current way in a new way metaphor.
Right.
Yeah, what I was going to add there is one of the things that I enjoy about the Enneagram is it does articulate certain embodied beliefs and assumptions and the strategies that someone has, you know, formulated and embodied from earlier in their development. And so it does help you start to appreciate some different belief structures.
Right.
And what gives rise from those. And that does help a coach start to tune into what's that client's current way of seeing, going, and checking in their topic. And
so right,
the type lenses give us more kind of texture that help us appreciate what that content is.
And again, the point is in including these, and we're not going to really go into these typologies. Individuals can look them up and study them as they wish. But the point about including the types in the AQUO constellation is, again, it's just giving more information to get a better picture of the person you're talking with and therefore be able to adjust communication in a way that can be heard. And then that's what's going to come from looking at a person through types and looking as a person is seeing the world, is to get an understanding of their felt understanding of the world around them through the particular type that they are, and then adjusting your own communication to resonate with that type.
Yeah, and I would add, Ken, I think that in both cases, both the gender and the Enneagram, each in different ways, it also helps the coach start to appreciate what's the emotional landscape of this type, and it can help the coach actually feel what's that like if someone
right.
actually lives in a landscape where there's an undercurrent kind of dark mood. What's that? And it can help the coach start to get a felt sense of what that is.
Right.
And so it helps the coach be able to pick up and relate to different ways of not only seeing, but experiencing somatically and emotionally and psychically what the world looks like through that particular
right.
type.
Right.
So it helps the coach expand their own range beyond their own.
Right. Okay. Well, I think that's a really good overview of the Aqua constellation, its five or six major elements, and how they play into a truly integral coaching. Laura and Joanne, it has been divine talking with both of you. I love you both. I'm so glad to see what you've done with the integral framework and coaching. It's really just an inspiration.
Well, thank you. That means a lot coming from you, Ken.
And we want to really bow to you because you've been just a huge source of inspiration for us, guidance for us, teacher for us, and translator for us, actually. And you've been extremely generous in your support of us. And I can't thank you enough, Ken.
Well, I do appreciate it. It's a great honor. And I will be seeing you all soon, I hope. Do take care.
Okay, you too.
Okay, bye.
Bye.